the third and final part in our series on life in the Spirit. And today, we get to end with a passage that I love. It's an intriguing passage, but it's one that I love. Before we get started, let's take a little test. Can anybody tell me, and y'all can just shout it out, the three things that Pastor Artie gave us last week that will help us to live a life in the Spirit? Can anybody give me those three things? Throw them out. Yes, go ahead. That's right. Somebody taking notes. I know. Go ahead. Pray and ask God. Somebody, where? To obey. See, y'all some note takers. That's why I like y'all. Yes, so I rewarded them a little bit. So the first thing he gave was find out the truth about the situation. Absolutely. Two, respond like Jesus would respond about the situation. And number three was ask and allow the Spirit of God to empower us about the situation. That's the Winfrey Burns version, because y'all use difficult words and I don't need all of that to remember nothing. Amen. All right. So that's what he taught us last week. So I'm going to come behind, because 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kevin kicked us off. Last week, Pastor Artie came and taught us this, so I guess I got to take it home. So y'all pray for me. He taught us last week that in the Spirit of God, that God wants us to live with the Spirit of God and in community with the people of God. And after hearing those last 2 weeks teaching, I was kind of like, well, we can kind of wrap the series up, right? We can move on to the next thing, but we have one more week. But what they really showed us is they showed us the empowering provision that we have as followers of Jesus Christ and as kingdom citizens.
That's right.
But in today's text, Paul is contrasting for us a life in the Spirit and a life without the Spirit. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth is kind of vacillating between trying to live this life that Paul has taught them and trying to live this life that these other missionaries, is what we're going to call them, have come, that have tried to get them back into obeying the Mosaic law. And so he's trying to juxtapose the differences for them, to show them that life in the Spirit is better than just life in the law. So this leads me to my first point. My first point is Paul here is telling the church of Corinth that we can have, y'all ready for this? We can have a religious experience with God, but not be walking in the fullness of God if we are not embracing the ministry of the Spirit of God. Yeah, we're going to work that, Mr. Leon. We're going to work that. I'm going to say it again. Paul is telling the church at Corinth and us that we could have a religious experience with God, but not be walking in the fullness of God if we are not embracing the ministry of the Spirit of God. So let me say it like this. We can accept the rules of God and think we are living our best lives while never experiencing a full life of reigning, of ruling, of having dominion, which is a part of having the Spirit of God. That's why he tells us, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we can do that. We can't do that. And we can do that and never become like Jesus unless we embrace the Spirit of God. Let me deal with this now. Spirit of God, if you come where I come from, that's the Holy Ghost. Okay, let me make that clear. I'm like, Spirit of God. No, Holy Ghost. Five baptized. Come on, you know what I mean. You know, we come for evidence of speaking and tell y'all. How many of y'all done tarried before? Y'all done tarried? Y'all ain't had no tarry? Okay, we got some tarrying. Y'all ain't tarry? We gonna tarry. No, I'm kidding. We're not gonna tarry. Tarrying is when they make you, is when they lay hands and pray over till you start speaking in tongues. You know, y'all don't tarry. Ooh. Where I come from, you ain't got the Holy Ghost if you can't do that. Israel, who has been delivered from captivity from Pharaoh, they have witnessed the power of God destroy Pharaoh in the Red Sea. They have experienced God giving them food delivered to them. They had like Uber Eats in the middle of the desert every day without the surcharge or the tip. They had water coming from a rock because they're in a desert, right? Right. This is Israel. They have experienced all of this, and the moment Moses goes up the mountain and spends some time with the Lord, they make a golden calf. They've experienced God, right? They've seen the goodness of God. They've seen miracles from God. But as soon as Moses turns his back for a second, they turn from God to a golden calf. You can have a religious experience with God and not have the fullness of God when you don't embrace the Spirit of God. How do we do this? How do we do this? So in this text, what he's telling us, he's talking about Moses after he comes down from the mountain. Moses experiences, he sees them with this golden calf. Moses is like me. He's like, forget y'all. He throws the Ten Commandments down and breaks them. Y'all remember this, right? Then Moses turns, goes into the tent of meetings, asks God for forgiveness, and he comes back. And at this time, Moses then goes back to Mount Sinai, and he asks God, God, show me your face. Show me your face. Show me your glory. Show me that you are with me. God tells Moses, hey, listen, Moses, I can't show you my face because no one looks at my face and lives. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you in the cleft of this rock. I'm going to cover your face and I'm going to let my presence pass by you. And I'll remove myself enough that you can see what he calls my backside. He ain't talking about his butt. He's talking about his backside. Listen, this was the first time I actually realized he wasn't talking about his butt. I was like, okay. Don't judge me. I was like, why his butt? Like, you know, that don't make sense. Nevertheless, pray for me. I did. I thought he was talking about his butt. So Jesus says, God says, I'm going to show you my backside. Now, the backside of God is referencing to God his goodness and his glory. And upon seeing the goodness or the glory of God, Moses' face, it says, starts radiating. So much that when Moses comes down, back down from the mountain, the Israelites can't even look him in the face anymore. Moses, when he's interacting with them, has to wear a veil over his face because the glory of God is now causing his face to radiate, and now they can't even look at him. I need some of that. So by the way, let me just tell you, I just gave y'all like three chapters of Exodus. So please go back and read chapters 31, 32, and 33. I left a whole bunch of stuff out, but that's the point that's pertinent. Because Paul is using this to show us, he's trying to show us that even after Moses sees the glory of God and reestablishes the Mosaic law, that he needed to cover his face before the people of God. because his face was so, was radiating so much that the people in their, with their sinful self could not stand to be in the backside of the glory of God, let alone the front side. Because this is using anthropomorphism when he's talking about backside and face, but when we look at the face of God, what we're looking at, God in such detail and such holiness that our sinful selves and our sinful flesh can't stand in his presence, and that will lead us to death. So he can't show us all of that right away, because in our sinful nature, we ain't ready to see all of that part of Jesus. So he has to veil himself and show us the parts of himself that we're ready to handle. What does that mean? That means that he wants us to recognize that in our sinful selves, we can't approach God, because so that's why we need a mediator named Jesus. Y'all stay with me. I'm going someplace, okay? This is what Paul is trying to show us. Paul is trying to show us that we need a mediator. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the purpose of the law. So I'm not against the law. I'm not saying the law is bad. I want to throw that out there. Jesus ain't against the law. Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law. So we ain't against the law. But the law, the purpose of the law was to show us that in our flesh dwells no good thing, and when we try to fulfill the law and can't, we have to recognize that we need something else that could get us into the presence of God, and that was the purpose of Jesus. So when Jesus died, rose, and ascended back to the right hand of the Father, he left us the Spirit of God so that we now have access to the presence of God. Y'all got that? You see what I'm saying? So now the presence of God, I'm all off my notes, thank you. The presence of God is what empowers us to become what God has created us to be. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that allows us to do the work that God has birthed us, you and I, to do. It is the presence of God, the Spirit that is found in the Spirit of God, that allows us to do the work that you and I are supposed to do, which is point number two, Alyssa. I'm gonna get myself together. Point number two is the glory of God comes with and through the Spirit of God. The glory of God comes with and through the Spirit of God. Let me see, how do I explain this? Okay, so Moses, being in the presence of God, or the backside of God, which again represents the goodness of God, is transformed so much that people can't even look at him because the presence of God is radiating so much from his face. When it was Moses that was giving the law, they could still make golden calves. When it was Moses going into the tent of meetings for them, they were still able to try to keep the law but not do justice. When it was Moses giving them the law and going to God for themselves, there was separation from their experience with the Spirit of God, so they weren't transformed. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians here, he says that what it did was it caused their hearts to harden so much that there was a part of the glory of God that they could never experience. Because if you've ever experienced the glory of God, if you ever experienced the manifest presence of God, then something in you is going to change, and something in you is going to soften, and you begin to recognize that I am so unlike God that there is no way that I can approach the presence of God on my own. I need something to empower me to get through the day. I need something that's going to keep me when I can't be kept. I need something more than myself that is there that will be able to strengthen strengthen me and do the things in this world that I can't do on my own. The law keeps us separated, but the Spirit gives us the presence. So the Spirit of God, again, the glory of God comes with and through the Spirit of God. So this should lead us to the gospel truth that, we need the sovereignty of God, or that God, Yahweh, is sovereign, and that we need the grace of God, that we need God to dwell with us in Jesus, because then that exposes us to the wrath that comes from sin. But after, again, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, we needed God in us. Because to have God with us and not God with us, or in us, excuse me, still causes, doesn't allow us to fully experience the full rule and reign that God wants for us. And now, when we receive the Spirit of God, we understand that our righteousness is not our own. So we have to learn then to depend on the Holy Spirit. This is point number three. The Spirit of God empowers us to assist in the work of transforming people who transforms communities for the glory of God. God is not calling for us to be self-sufficient. God is calling for us to be spirit reliant. Yes. Our being has to be in the Spirit and not in ourselves. This is why the Bible says, in him I live, I move, and I have my being. Right. So let me give you three ways. Since Pastor already gave y'all three last, I'm going to give y'all three ways this text tells us to do that. You ready? Number one. This text tells us that in order to live in the Spirit, we must first daily look into the mirror of God's Word through God's Spirit. It's not enough just to read the Bible. Let me just say that. Because there are plenty of things, I ain't gonna tell y'all that terrible joke. There are plenty of things that we can do with the Bible that ain't got nothing to do with what God wants us to do.
Yes, sir. That's right.
We can enslave people. We can degrade people. We can harm people. We can go to war with people. All using the Bible. And as our justification for what we are doing. When the Bible clearly tells us to do most, not do most of that stuff, we can go, but the Bible says, you know, slaves, honor your masters. It's in the Bible. But when you have the Spirit of God, you understand that that is not in line with the character of God. And you begin to question, but if this don't line up with the character of God, maybe that means my interpretation of God's word ain't right and I need to check myself. I'm just a messenger, don't shoot me. So this is what the Spirit of God does. It causes us to come to truth. And truth is what the Spirit of God does. He leads, this Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. Not facts, because facts can change, but truth is unchanging. So if I understand what the Spirit of God says and I am led by the Spirit, then I am able to understand the nature and character of who God is. And so as I daily look in the mirror of this word, I can look at myself first and say, bro, you tripping. This ain't right that you got going on in your life. And secondly, be able to look at my community and say something ain't right in my community when folks is getting shot down in the street like dirty dogs. Something ain't right because this is not in line with the flourishing of the Spirit of God. So we have to look through the lens of the Holy Spirit as we look in this mirror of God's Word. The second thing we need to do, we need to rest in the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We need to learn to rest in the Spirit of God. So this week I moved, y'all, right? So let me give y'all an example of rest. This week I moved. And I was just telling him earlier, like, I realized this week I'm getting old. I'm not old, I'm getting older. Because usually I could take my couch, pick it up, put it on these big shoulders, and just walk it out to the truck, put it on the truck, set it down, get it off the truck, pick up the thing, like, come on, y'all, let's go. But at some point, I said to myself, self, you're older now, and your back don't function, so I had to learn to sit my old butt down and let the movers do the work for me, because then I was able to rest and still stand up here today and not need some help. We need to learn how to rest in the help and the leading of the Holy Spirit so we don't do the work, because when we do the work, A, we're going to break something, and B, we're going to mess something up, and then we're going to hurt ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I just need you to be the channel that I work through so I can do what I need to do in the earth realm. So when we learn to rest in God, we can allow the Spirit of God to give us the instructions of God, and we can begin to make the changes from God that this world needs so that it will no longer be broken. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Spirit of God leads us to rest. And number three, use your gifts to build the kingdom of God. These are the gifts that are given by God, that are led by the Spirit of God. So God gives each and every one of us gifts. He gave you a gift. He gave me a gift. He gave everybody gets a gift to build the kingdom of God. And this text is telling us today that we need to use those gifts as led by the Spirit, as looking through the God's word to build the kingdom of God. Now, can I deal with this? Yeah, let me deal with this one right now. So there is this controversy that we like to deal with, so I get to deal with it. Amen. So a lot of times when we talk about the Spirit of God, we have this contrast or this argument between the fruits and the gifts. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? For those who don't, what it means is like I said earlier, that you don't have the Holy Ghost if you don't speak in tongues. And then there's another side that will say, well, as long as I have the fruit of the Spirit, then I'm good. Let me tell you right now, we need both. God is calling us to use those gifts, the fruit and the gifts. And so if you speak in tongues, speak in tongues. If you prophesy, prophesy. But if you speak in tongues, you better have love. And if you prophesy and don't have love, what does Paul say? You just making a whole bunch of noise. But if you have the fruit and don't have no gifts and don't exercise your gifts, then guess what? Then you're not utilizing the very thing that God gave you. So if God has called you for the gift of helps, if God has called you to prophesy, if God has given you the gift of speaking in tongues, of laying on of hand, of administration, whatever, of preaching, of teaching, of singing, of being a nurse, of being a teacher, whatever gift God has given you, he has given it to you and I to build his kingdom with. And the evidence of that is that it should be done with the fruit. Did I settle that debate? Thank you, Jesus. Because here is why. If you read the beginning of the chapter, and I'm done. If you read the beginning of the chapter, what you find is that Paul opens this part of his argument to the Corinthian church by saying, listen, if you want to know the proof that Yahweh is really God, you don't have to ask other people. Look at yourself. Because you once were a people who did not know God and didn't follow God, but since you began to follow God, look at what has happened in your community. You have changed. Your family has changed. The people around you have changed. And this is why the enemy is trying to divide you, because the enemy does not like the fact that God's reign and rule are happening around you. So when we do and become people who live in the Spirit, then it makes our lives, our communities better. It means that we know that it is not God's will for us to stay silent when we see injustice or pain, but we understand that feeling that we feel is the Holy Spirit saying in you is the solution to solve this problem. What he's trying to get us to understand and become is a people, the end of the chapter says, it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yes.
Now that word freedom there means that he's trying to turn us into a people who, without having to think about it, automatically do the will of God. So there is no battle between flesh and spirit, because we are completely consumed by the Spirit. So the will of God becomes our way. And when it becomes our way, those around us, it becomes their way, because now they get to see the human flourishing that happens from people who live in the Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
That's what God wants from us today. And that's what God is calling us to be people who cause the Spirit of God to be something that the world sees, because that's what the world needs. They need to recognize that there is something greater out there than ourselves that we can rely on and depend on that will bring us into total human flourishing.
Yes.
This is life in the Spirit. It is a life that empowers. It is a life that strengthens. It is a life of truth, and it is a life that changes.
Yes.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us access to your Spirit. We thank you that you give us your presence. We thank you that you tell us that it is in us, Father, because you are in us, that we can do justice, that we can show mercy, that we can care for others, that we can carry out the thing that you have called us to be. Father, we pray that, God, that we would be people who are led by your Spirit, that as we look through the mirror of your word, that Father, that daily we would be transformed into the image and into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.